your immediate presence. Oh, Lord Jesus, that we can feel you at just the mention of your name. God, oh God, we believe your promises that you would be wherever two or three are gathered in your name. And we are here to worship you this morning. Praise the Lord. 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 Let's start with a chorus. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Yes,
here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that makes his heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
Here I am
to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created. All for love's sake became born.
Here I am
to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Oh, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross.
To see my sin upon that cross, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Let's praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise your name.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Savior plead, and in my sovereign plan, would he devote that sacred head for such a word as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well, by the sun in darkness high, and shone his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for men the creatures sin. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Let's give him some praise. Lift our hands. Hallelujah, God, you said I will, and man would lift your hands every day. Holy hands, without man, without hands. God, in your lovely name, we magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. This is a practice morning for me. Amen. I've never really used my iPad or a phone or any other ungodly technology. I can pretty well say ahead of time, because every time I deal with technology, amen, my printer, for some reason, when I went to print off, would not let me get the format that I wanted to where I could print it and have numbers on the pages and things like that. And so I had to downsized a little bit, and then it really shrunk it to where there's no way Grandpa could read that. Amen. And so I'm going to try this today, just see how it works. And if it doesn't work very good, I have the small print copy in my folder, okay? Amen. Amen. Luke 22:42, and then Luke chapter 10, 29 through 37. First is our focus verse. It says in Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then in Luke chapter 10 is our text for this morning. And verse 29, it says, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went up or down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at that place, came, looked on him, and passed on the other side. But the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And when he and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee, which thou hast now three. Which now of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor to him that fell amongst the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thought of the day is the deliberate acts of selflessness help defeat the tyranny of selfishness. Amen. How closely they're related, but that little change makes a whole difference in who God is really talking to and dealing with. Our scripture or our text today is going to be talking about the discipline of selflessness. In other words, that we in ourselves look at ourselves and recognize where we are and do our best. Amen. I know that we've all been selfish at some times. Brother Davis is not totally, you know, free of not having any charge against me of being somewhat selfish. It just depends on what it is. All right? Amen. If it's a good nutter butter, peanut butter sandwich, amen, I might keep those to myself. Every now and then I do that. But, and I have, I have to admit. But selfishness is not a good thing. Amen. It is something, especially when it comes to the need, and we are living in a world today that is in a place to where there are many demands that are put upon us. Our country is, what, $22 trillion at least in debt right now, and still there's things that are happening in our world that has got us in a very shaky situation. The immigrants that are coming up are those people not really necessarily of that title. Amen, but people that have come to really seize upon our country and try to force a way in. Now, none of us know how that will turn out. It's developing today. But it just seems like that our world is becoming more chaotic with things that are beyond our control. Amen. We've had a couple of hurricanes this year that have wreaked havoc upon our churches in southern states close to the ocean line or the Gulf side. And when we see that, there is... I thank God for our churches. I know that I've seen people loading up trucks and putting a lot of their groceries in it and water in it and sending workers into an area to maybe help church members out or whoever has needs. But there's a lot of that today. In other words, we have lost a lot of finances and things that just are going to demand as a country for us to give them. And then you leave there and you go to the fires that are in California. And, you know, the damage that is happening there and the people that are still missing. And to me, that would be one of the most fearful things to be done, because so oftentimes, as has happened in the fire that has been going on out there, not only has it destroyed houses and lands, but it's taken the lives of many animals. It's taken the lives of a number of people. And in the process of all of these things, whether it was the hurricane or the fires or a terrible tragedy somewhere, people have an opportunity to respond to that. Amen. And have responded pretty well. And so I'm excited. I know the church that Paul and Sherry go to are quite extensive in the way that they try to help people out and other churches out. And, but that has reproduced itself in a number of ways. Walked out of Walmart yesterday, and I heard that bell ringing. Amen. And now, this is not a point of criticism, but that is an organization that pretty well operates totally upon people giving of themselves. Now, I don't know if they always look upon that, but when you hear that ringing, I can always remember one thing. It seems like that every year the Salvation Army spends more money in helping people rather than helping their hierarchy of that organization or that church. They strive and they live for that idea that, you know, God has called us and to be disciples and to love people and to share with people and give to people. And there's nothing wrong with that. If they're ringing the bell and you want to drop in a few $100s, I wouldn't complain against that. And if you don't feel like doing it there, there's something that ought to take place in our lives that demonstrates a selflessness, amen, when it comes to giving in the kingdom of God and working in the kingdom of God and helping people out that we go along the way. That being friendly is not just the only thing that we do, but there's a necessity that we will follow that with a concern to where we are willing to help people. Amen. I have to realize within myself that when we are called upon and there's things to be done, it doesn't always happen at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, sometimes it happens at 2 in the morning. I remember Brother Spann and Sister Spann were in Rockford a number of years ago with somebody that came to church here and had a child that was pretty well given up on the child living, and so they called me, and I run to Rockford about 4 o'clock in the morning, and, Brother and Sister Spann was there. They were not the pastors. I mean, they were just people, normal people. Well, most of the time normal. And they're going to do their best, help out, and that's good, but it's got to be God-centered. Sometimes there are people that will do things just, amen, to attract the attention of people, to make them look like they are really somebody. Amen. We had a man come into church here a number of years ago. I'll never forget it. He wanted everybody to know he gave a good offering. Gave a real good offering. If all of you would do that this morning, that what this person gave, it would have been great. But, when he pulled his money out of his wallet, he raised it up like this and just shook it. And I'm thinking, it wasn't going for the ushers, because they had already kind of prayer was dismissed and about ready to turn around, and it was like, I'm anxious to give this money away. And giving has to come from a heart. It needs to be, when I say private, not always just totally concealed if that person doesn't want, but the motivation has to be that, God, I do this because I want to bless. I don't want to hold and withdraw to myself. Amen. And so that was the struggle that we go through and we see in our lives and many times. We've already heard, and I know that in just the last few weeks we've heard Adam, Eve, and Eve discussed a lot. And when it came to Eve in the garden, there was something about that. I think that she felt insufficient in the fact that she wanted to be more than what she was. And she's willing to try anything. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be all that you can be. But you have to do it in the right heart, of the right spirit, of the right mind to bless that, not to try to elevate yourself. Most of us have gone through childhood, but we remember some of the nemesis of childhood is when we look upon people. And we see Courtney one time. I walked into her house, and she was probably 2 or 3 years old. And as soon as I walked in the door of the house, and she had this nature about her, to where she says, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I come over to see you and, just visit with you." She says, "Well, why don't you go home?" And Roman and Andrew and Courtney have all given me a good example of what selfishness is. Amen. When those three get together, they always want what the other one has. Amen. And there's something about children that don't yet decipher, you know, some of these things. What is selfishness and what is selflessness? Amen. And so that's what the church is all about. And Eve in the garden, we could tell by her actions when the devil threw out his bait. Amen. She swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. And that's what I want. And I don't care what would happen to us or whatever. Amen. And so in one place you have a child's nature, but some people never grow out of that. Amen. They always want to have the biggest. They always want to have the best. They always want to have bragging rights. They want to feel like everything that they have. Now, we feel like that as parents and grandparents and great-grandparents now to some of us. Super-duper excited ones. Amen. And we have that. And of course, every time, you know, that baby happens, a bell seems to ring, like clink, clink, you know. And now we have another one to support. Amen. And for my wife to go crazy over. Amen. And so we see this. The tyranny of this selfishness is something that puts upon our lives that really does not want to bless, but it wants to bankrupt us. Amen. It wants to move into our life and just take everything away that we have and to give to them. Some of us, and you've already hearing people complain about this great state of Illinois that we live in, and the question of taxes does just not go away. Amen. And I don't mean to be political about that this morning, but I don't know of anybody that likes taxes, and then it seems like you're paying taxes and taxes. There are people in Chicago now that want to sell houses that to put them on the market, the people pay more in annual tax, you know, than the people would be able to afford even of themselves because the taxes have become so extensive in many of the richer suburbs of the town, and that riches have only made people a little bit poor. And so as we look upon this subject this morning, we want to understand, amen, first of all, in our parable, not a new story to us. Again, it kind of goes with Adam and Eve. It seems like I've, you know, heard a couple of phrases and stories that have gone all the way back to the very beginning of time and done that. But we know that God wants to really move upon our lives and to do things with us. When in the garden, when it was asked, or not the garden, but when in the actually, it was the garden, but the children have been, it wasn't in the garden, I'm sorry. But we run across this Adam and Abel and Cain and what they went through in life, and we find that there was a great happen. Matter of fact, when Cain just first had just killed Seth, or do this with my own kids, amen, Abel, we know that there was this quietness about him. And when it comes down and the Lord asks, where is your brother? Amen. And he says, am I my brother's keeper? Amen. Am I the one that has to take care of him? And to answer God in such a way was, to me, foolishness, because as we look into the scripture and it goes almost from chapter to chapter to verse, that we find out that the people that excel in the kingdom of God are those that are willing to sacrifice. I don't think building that ark was fun for Noah, but he knew it was a part of the salvation of the world, because even though he had not ever seen anything, or the world had never seen anything like that, he was wanting to make sure that I want to be a helper and not one that hinders. Amen. I want to be that person that is a doer. Amen. And I want to do those things that are right and good. And so Noah raises it to that level to where he is willing to pour himself without a whole lot of success. I don't believe he was a bad preacher. I just think he had a bad time to live in. To go through all those hundreds of years of trying to build something that seems to be, against all odds, and for him to do that, what, some 120 years that he worked upon the ark, and I mean, that was just something that is a testimony to where it takes a selfless person to do that. When God is not usually asking us to do those great things, He's asking us to do things like, Brother Davis used to say this around the church when I pastored here, that if they come to me and say, hey, you know what, we really need to do something about that. And I said, well, God's probably showed you that. Maybe you ought to take care of it. And then it becomes a different story to some. But as a whole, I find that, the people that serve us and we serve them, amen, they're a whole lot more willing to do those things that they are called to do just by observation. And so we are searching for these things, amen, in our lives to do what is right. Amen. When the Pharisee, and of course we know the story of the Good Samaritan and the man that was injured, it was so easy for the Levite and the Pharisee to walk to the other side. Too easy. And here comes a Samaritan that was supposed to be a no good. We need to be careful about how we judge people. Amen. And here comes a man that he goes and sees the man that is left for half dead and binds his wounds and cleans him up and puts him on his own donkey, and he's willing to work. The whole story is about being selfless, amen, not worrying about what we do in our own selves, but what we are doing in the kingdom of God. And not only did he do that, but after he leaves the man off in the end and wakes up the next morning and goes about his way, he still has a concern. Amen. And his concern was, if you need more money, I'll be back through here in a day or so, amen, and I will make good for it. I really have a belief that that innkeeper was not concerned at all about getting back, amen, what needed to be charged, if charges went to that way. Why? Because he had met somebody that was selfless, amen, if it meant. I remember one time somebody asked me about an individual and what they would think about if they wanted to rent something. And I said, I just know one thing, that if I wanted to make sure that I got my money every month, and it's good to have a church that has a reputation like this, amen, I know one thing, they would take care of the house before they would take care of their own investments and their own things. Amen. And he says, well, if they're like that, because the person became a little bit disarrayed and thinking what somebody has said, he took that one message of how that I would never be afraid to rent to that person. And this church has had a lot of good givers, amen, over the years that have rose up, amen, and done those things. But the thing of it is, it's not good enough to do that in the past and say, I'm done with that now. We are in a day to where we never retire. I'm not talking about on your earthly jobs, but I'm talking about in the kingdom of heaven. There's always room. Amen. As you get older, you just have more time. Amen. And there's people that are there that are needing us at every age level. Amen. And so the Lord talks to us about, not just impersonal relationships. I think sometimes we have too many of those. Amen. We're not willing to invest some time in, people that, they might not ever come to church. They might not ever, but if they need food to help them and or somebody to come, and we know that our neighbor has been ill and needs somebody to mow a yard or to do some things that are necessary in their life, we need to always be aware of setting that excellence. It's just a kind of a door opener when we deal with people to know that it's not just about, I know that I've said this, Brother Wells repeats himself, which I'm always glad to hear. In our lives to where we just need to learn how to take care of those people, show interest in those people that are not in the church, amen, to do all that we can to get in. Oh, that they might see our good works, amen, and give glory to our Father, amen. And so those things will be in us. Did Jesus die so that we could live according to our own agendas? No. Our Lord Jesus died for all that they have, which should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, rose again. Amen. And so Corinthians teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5:15, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Now, when the Lord asks us or is asked the question, who is my neighbor? That man was looking for an out. He wasn't looking to get in and get involved, but he was looking for an opportunity in himself to kind of just mess this up. You know, there's two commandments one commandment I really have a struggle with. It's not, thou shalt not steal or kill or commit adultery or things like that, but it's that first one. That you love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. Amen. Second is like unto that, and that is that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he's looking for a definition that would take him in a total different direction. And God says, which one now is the neighbor? You've got to answer it yourself. And I know it's been pointed out very well in the last few weeks of how that was the challenge to the person to know that it's up for me to give. Amen. Jesus struggled in the garden. I don't think he does that because he was in his mind, but I think Brother Saban one time said that Jesus denied himself of ever divine prerogative, amen, that was given to mankind. He could have had them all. And yet, for him to be the Savior, though, he had to step into areas and do jobs, amen, that God did not come to earth and do, but man has to do that. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. How did that happen? I mean, if you just look at the death, burial, of the Lord Jesus Christ and not the resurrection and what those things were that happened later, we can look at him and say, you know, why did you do that in such a way? It's because God knows that answer. And so he had things that he had to desire, and yet he also in the garden was going through this process to where he was wrestling with probably the greatest intensity. Brother Ray Klepper wrote a book years ago about the suffering of the Lord that he did at Calvary and the pain that his body went through. A lot of people died without having to go through that much pain. Amen. Legally, he should never have gone through that much pain. But when if they rose up and says, you know, this man deserves to die, he never rose up against that because he was closely in contact. And then the Lord, as he shows us, I think at a time, his humanity, not thinking of himself, but thinking about those that have to follow. Amen. I am going to lead one of the greatest blessings this world has ever had after the resurrection, and he knows those things. But yet he has to wrap himself in human flesh that feels real pain. Went through real agony. People looked upon him and were very condemned about what they were seeing happen to the Lord. And it all started in a place to where, in knowing this beforehand, sometimes it's not bad if you don't know what's on just the other side of the day. But when Jesus knew it all, he knew the pain. He knew the mental anguish, which was probably the greatest. Dr. Klepper said that he was under such pressure, the things that you see happening, like his sweat were as drops of blood, not to speak of the stripes that was upon his back and the heckling that he took and the people that were cursing him and arguing against him and out to crucify him. Jesus understood that rejection. He understood that pain. He understood everything that you and I could go through so that if that time came to us, not everybody suffers that way, but if the time came to whoever's out there, amen, that we would understand that our part is, if we want to self-preserve ourselves, amen, I want to do it according to God's word. Amen. And Jesus paid a great price for that. Amen. He knew these things that were there. There are two women in the Old Testament that give us a great insight into those things, to where a person is challenged, am I going to be selfish or am I going to be selfless? Amen. One was that widow that had another son and that she had just enough meal and just enough oil, amen, to bake her and her child the last meal, amen, that they would have. And so she had done that, and Elijah came in and talks to her about having something to eat. And the response was, well, you know, we cleaned out the barrel and the oil is all gone, and we wrapped it up in this last sandwich, and me and my son was going to eat that, and we're just going to go on and just succumb to nature and probably starve to death. And Elijah, when he spoke to her, he begins to tell her, give it to me first. And that seems unfair that somebody's down to the very last minute. Somebody already screaming, coming. Amen. And not only that, looking upon the face of a child and the anguish, and I think most people believed him as a prophet and knew him as a prophet. And this woman, if she had never met him or heard the story, there was something when he says, you give it to me first. Without knowing what the blessings would be or the consequences would be, she gave it to the prophet to eat of the bread and succumb that. But after that, she never went to her meal, to where the meal was all probably just enough for a day. Every day for about 3 years, amen, that world was in the land of famine. And she could go to the oil and go to the cruise of oil and this a meal that she had in the barrel. And every day it was there. And every day she could bake that bread. And every day her son could eat. Why? Because she was one that was a giver. Amen. She was one that it was selfish, or selfless, amen, to the point. I'm sure I turned that around a couple times before this service. Jay, I think, was saying, well, that's kind of hard to say. In mind. I've been practicing all morning still. But it comes. You know, and that's the nature of God. That it's not just about me, but it's about, her and her son and this terrible time that we are living in as a kingdom. Many people are going through great anguish because they were not selfless. They were being selfish. I would think some of us would probably, if we knew that, that the world's really headed toward a famine and we would hoard and hoard and hoard. We hoard without it. I go down on my basement and I just think, I know Brother Wells at my. It's like we never throw anything away. We just want to keep it. Now, that's my wife's problem, not mine. Everything I've got has got a purpose to it. I don't know when it's going to ever come up, but it's got a purpose. But can we really have fun this morning a little bit and at the same time recognize the severity of the problem, just of the motive of doing what God would do? Another woman, I think she was the Syrophoenician that came Elijah was just going by her house every day. Stopping in probably every day. And after a while the woman perceives, she has this perception that, hey, I think this man's a prophet. And he doesn't have a place to stay. I think we ought to try to build him a place. Build a chamber for him on the side of our house. And in that chamber, we would put a lampstand and we would put a table and a chair and a bed. And that's all that he needs. And that's all that he would want. Matter of fact, he laid there for, we don't know how many nights he spent in that room with his servant. But we know one thing, that he realized that, there's something special about this. I just like this little place. It might not seem a lot to everybody, but it seemed to be a great blessing to Elijah that he knew that he had Elisha to where he would come and have the ability to eat a good meal. And this lady would entertain him. Sure, she was giving him the hospitality. She was going out of her way. Probably after every meal, it was, is there anything else you need? And so finally, this woman in this house, he tells Gehazi's prophet, said, why don't you go and maybe something that would rattle here, or maybe some wood that they, you know, was laying out beside the house, that they had talked about a baby and dreamed about a baby and wanted a baby. And finally, you know, out of that, they make a chamber and put it on the side of the house. And it comes to the place to where Elisha tells her that you don't want, you know, because of your selflessness, you know, we discern that you would like to have a child. And according to the space of time, amen, this child is going to be born and you're going to have a son. And she said, don't lie to me. Challenged him a little bit. You know, I want to know. Don't be teasing me. And he reaffirms that in more than a number of ways as he deals with this lady. It's been so long since I went through this story. Years ago, I used to love to preach on this woman, one of my favorite messages wherever I would go. And it's a popular subject. But she went there, and if I remember rightly, the son was out in the field and with the husband and fell and hit his head. And you know, the dad said to the labors, almost like I really kind of get a little God. You know, call some servant, take it to mom. I sense a little bit of doubt in that message that he could think that his job was more important to a son, a man that was on the very verge of death. And he died. And this woman, all because of the chamber, she probably thought, you know, I asked the prophet not to let this happen, but she still believed in the prophet, and she, you know, saddles a donkey herself and has somebody to take her. I'm going to go find this man. I don't know where he is today, but I'm going to go and search until I find him. I'm going to tell him what happens. He sends his servant on to before him, and he and the lady comes, and Elijah comes into that room and breathes upon that, and you know, now her son is restored. He prays for her and puts his, you know, eye to eye, and mouth to mouth, and nose to nose, or however the story goes, and just says, you know, everything's going to be fine. It's going well. Aren't you glad we built the chamber? Aren't you glad that we've poured ourselves out to this man? And so now she's not only, you know, gone through this trauma and the chaos of a trauma and the catastrophic thing that happened in her family. She's got her son back, and she is very excited again. And her husband's gone, and you know, seem like the famine is over, and everything's going quite well. But the only problem of this is she had to move out of her land, but she wanted to get her land back. So if you go on and keep reading the story of this young lady with a boy, she's for some reason, Gehazi just happened to be in the same courtroom that when the judge says, show me, I mean, tell me another story about this. This prophet begins to tell a story and looks up and says, woman over there, she's the woman that built the chamber, that had a miraculous son, that raised him from the dead, has been faithful. Amen. And all these things, never gave up, but kept on giving. Amen. Kept on building, kept on pursuing. Amen. Why? Because God visited her through Elisha. Amen. And a remarkable miracle happened in about four key points of her life that comes back that because she was selfless. Amen. That God was able to work in her life and make her a great woman, she would be called. Amen. And one that was highly regarded of God and highly blessed of God. Amen. Because she was a giver. Some people never give back because they never give. Some people would say, give to me. Amen. And I'll give back to you. But these things come to our lives to where now we look at this and everything is fine because she knew the importance building this room. Amen. We've come to a time to where in our lives we have to apply it to our own selves. You know, every now and then when we sense, you ever go through that time in a life or circumstance happens, maybe a conflict, and you really don't even want to go. You know, it was pretty bad. But something in you You know, the Bible says that Jesus looked upon the multitudes. He had compassion. Compassion is a good note in our lives that we're giving and we're selfless. Jesus was compassionate. And something moved him every time that he saw somebody that was just a little bit off as far as the world comes. Maybe not physically strong, not mentally strong, or not anything. Amen. He comes in such a way just to do that. Amen. And to show us that he rewards those blessings. Amen. That come our way. Praise the Lord. And so we come this morning. You said, Brother Davis, what is it? Well, I had a blessing. Knows this. I always had people quote, what was it, Revelation 12 and 10, I believe it was, that these overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I could say that, and I'd stop sometimes if I was preaching somewhere, and I says, and nobody could pick up on that. You love your life no matter what. Amen. Comes your way because this body is something that has to die. And we have to keep it dead. Amen. Or else it might rise up and really come against us. And so this morning, remember that you're giving of your life. And it's a lot of pain. And, you know, to drive 20 miles and do what or in the snow. But we love not our lives unto death. Amen. We want to live for Jesus Christ. And when we have Christ in the center of our living, we are givers. Have to be. Amen. That's what he makes us. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Praise I God. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use.
Stand to your feet.
I give myself away.
Lord, one of the most difficult things to do, Lord, is be selfless.
I give myself
to sacrifice
away
for the good of others.
So you can use.
It's difficult to make those choices, God, which cause me pain and suffering, God, but alleviates the pain and suffering of others.
I give myself away.
Lord, you are the ultimate example of selflessness.
Can you?
Lord, you are the ultimate example of the one who would take upon suffering for himself to alleviate our suffering.
I give
we lift our voices, God, unto you this morning. We lift our hands, God, in recognition of your selflessness, God. And we ask you to help us, God, to be selfless people. To give of ourselves for the good of others. These altars are open. Let's take a few moments, whether it's here at the altar, there at your pew. Let's pray. Our classes will be returning here in just a few moments. A few more moments before we continue into our evangelistic worship service. But why don't you take those moments right now. Help me, Jesus, to be selfless. Help me to give of myself. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Give myself.
myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Peace that you